All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this Saturday, October 29th, 2016. Not quite frost delay, but on the chilly side. Pleased to have in studio for the final show of the season, my good friend, Woody Lashin, co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop. Woody, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, Anthony.
You know, the last, you know, when I get to see you in studio this time of year, it's always a great thing and a sad thing because I know it's the end of the season, man. But it's always a pleasure to have you in here.
Always try to do the opening show and the closing show.
Yep.
By the way.
You do plenty in between.
But wait, frost delay today.
It is a frost delay?
Got an email. Frost delay today.
Got an email. All right. Well, you know, that's all right. Get an extra. You know, frost delays for us, so that's a good thing because now people can tune in. They're listening.
They can grab a cup
of coffee, relax. You're not going anywhere. So you might as well just tune in and listen to the On Par radio show.
Absolutely. You know, you look at last year, by the way, we did the show in October, and people were playing golf to Christmas.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, golf season isn't necessarily over.
No, you just have to be a little more crazy.
Yes. Well, or we get some nice weather. I mean, Sunday is supposed to be in the 60s.
Yeah, all right.
You go tee it up.
I'll tee it up on Sunday. Well, if I'm not running from soccer practice to lacrosse practice or something. But I'll definitely maybe something in between. And for folks who are listening, Hideki Matsuyama is still leading the HBC championship and the World Golf Championship, and or HSBC, I should say, in Shanghai. And so just wanted to give you a little morning update on that. Woody, let's talk a little bit about, we have a couple of items on our list today, I think, that we want to get through. And the first thing I think we should talk about, being that you're one of the premier fitters, not just on Long Island, but in the Northeast, and that is the news that came out a little bit ago, and that was the Cobra single length irons. And I thought it would be useful, not necessarily buyer's beware, but more like a buyer's informational. What does this mean? And for those maybe who don't know, that Cobra would be offering the DeChambeau single length irons for the everyday golfer. And what I think it's important that people understand, what does that mean? First of all, what does that mean for you as a fitter? And what does it mean for me as a consumer? Because I can imagine being a single length iron set is going to be a different story.
I think that the simple answer is we don't know yet.
Okay.
We got to do
very informational.
And the point is, we've got a lot of testing to do this winter.
Right.
We actually just got a couple pieces to start fooling around and testing with. You know, you mentioned that we got a chance to hit them a month ago or so, and you're like, "Oh, you tested them?" I'm like, "No, that was trying them. That wasn't testing."
Right.
The cool thing is that it if this works the way we hope it works, it's going to be another avenue for us to try and help golfers play better golf. You know, the single-length golf club, it's been around for a long time. It's not a new idea. I mean, back in the 80s, Tommy Armour had a set of irons that was single-length. It didn't work. Mm-hmm. It didn't work because we didn't have the engineering technology to help with the ball flight.
Right.
And what that means is, if your clubs are all the same, let's say they're all 7-iron length, and we did nothing in design to the heads, the pitching wedge would go way too high, and the 5-iron would go way too low. Mm-hmm. The flight of the golf ball would be all over the place.
Right.
With the engineering today, what Cobra has tried to do is to fill those gaps so that from 5-iron to pitching wedge, they all fly the same. The key ingredient is to just fly further. The gaps, if you will, if you don't adjust the lofts or don't know where the ball flies, your 5-iron might not fly far enough if it's not long enough. You've got to make a hotter face. You've got to do things with center of gravity to make the ball fly the right distance, so you have the right distance gaps. That's something we'll really be looking at. And I think it's going to vary on speed. In general, we look at that single length concept as being great for two areas. Great for the very good player who's got a lot of speed, and great for the beginner golfer. You know, when you're learning how to play golf, and you're learning, okay, I have to set up this way for a pitching wedge, this way for a 9-iron, this way for a 5-iron. And I mean, it's a lot of information that, as an avid golfer, you don't even think about anymore.
Right.
But when you're first learning, there's a lot going on there. Now you don't have to. You just set up in one position. Doesn't matter what iron is, and go. So it's quite exciting for us. I talked to one of the guys that designed this club, and he answered all the questions that I had the way I would hoped he would. Mm-hmm. Things he did to address all those issues: flight, distance gaps. This is very. This was not an easy thing to do. If we go back to our conversation, long story short, we built a set of single length irons for Matt Dobbins last winter.
Mm-hmm.
He was, playing a bunch of PGA Tour events. He was struggling.
What was his impetus for that?
His impetus was that when he had played about 10 tour events and had made a cut, and looked at his stats, and his stats were he was, top 25% putting, top 10% driving, top 25% scrambling, top 25% inside 150 yards, and he hadn't made a cut. And the reason why was he was dead last from 150 to 200 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he hits it so far that when he plays most golf courses, he hits driver and a wedge.
Right.
And you're hitting it 330, that's what happens. On tour, you're going to have a lot of those shots because they're playing 7,500-yard golf courses.
Right.
And so his input was, hey, can I his average was 120 feet, I believe, to the pin, where the tour average is 60 feet
right.
from that distance. So if he could make that a little better, he could do a little better. Well, folks, it was a lot of work.
Right.
And, way too technical to get into what Ono had to do to build those golf clubs. But in the end, he made 3 PGA Tour cuts using those irons. And I just talked to him, actually, at the Sarasin on Monday. And he used them all season. Loved them.
What length did he choose? What
he
iron
was using
length?
8 iron length.
8 iron length.
And he was, his 5 through his 9 iron were all the same length. And his wedges were shorter. And then all of a sudden he went to his hybrids and fairy woods.
So my question then is, you just said it right there. It took a lot of work. How does Cobra's set eliminate some of that work? And is that possible?
I would imagine it's
a very personal thing.
But Cobra took the engineering stuff
right.
that we had to kind of hand do.
Okay.
If you looked at Matt's clubs, Tylos wasn't happy with it. Looking at them, because there's holes all over the place, because you got to take weight out. There's lead tape. It was a mess.
Right.
And as much as we could do it, we couldn't do as good a job as if you could have built the golf club from scratch. Obviously, we can't do that.
Right. Of course.
And it worked for Matt because of his speed.
Okay.
For a lot of other golfers, it wouldn't work. We couldn't have even done it because of the speed. They wouldn't have enough speed to get that longer iron up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Cobra's did all that engineering work.
Okay.
I actually speculated that no one would do this because the amount of money that they'd have to invest in R&D to develop it, could they actually get it and sell it? Cobra decided to go all in on it because they are sponsoring DeChambeau.
Sure.
They think he's the next great thing. All the things I hear about him are fantastic. So they said, hey, we're going to try and get this. We'll spend the millions of dollars it takes on the R&D and try and develop this golf club. Again, whether it will work or not, I don't have an answer. I'm quite excited.
Right.
I'm quite optimistic that it's going to be a spectacular product. But it doesn't mean it will be until we test it. And, the end of the day is you may not know for a little bit of time.
Right.
Because it could pass all my tests, and then we have guys go out on the golf course and simply can't get it done. But I'm optimistic about it, because if you can eliminate variables in a golf swing where your same ball position, same spine angle, and then the ball will simply go different distances, could be a game changer.
Do you think that – how long does it take? Would it take like a season to get a feel for people where, how they feel about it?
I would say with some new technology like this, it's probably 6 to 9 months.
6 to 9 months. Okay.
It's hard to give you an exact time frame because it's something brand new for us, right? So
right.
we're gonna be doing a lot of experimenting with it. But I say 6 to 9 months.
6 to 9 months. Speaking of DeChambeau, what do you think, just off the top of my head, him talking about going side saddle putting? he's a bit of a character. I have a hard time believing he's going to pull the trigger on that.
You know, I wouldn't doubt it that he wouldn't try it. I mean, it's, you know, no question. I wouldn't doubt he wouldn't try it. He's a character. He believes what he believes, and to me, it's a breath of fresh air. It's someone trying to do something different in a sport where everyone's trying to do it the same way for a long time.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know if he'll actually pull the trigger, but he, you know, if anybody's going to pull the trigger, I think it would definitely be him. Be interesting to see how he does.
Yeah, absolutely.
The season's just unfortunately just about wrapping up for you. Let's talk about a season in review. When you look back on the technology that's passed through your shop, think about the products that have passed through your shop. What stands out? What looks back at you right away when you think about the year?
Well, and this is from a technology standpoint, this was a year of PXG.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they came on the market in the fall of 2015.
I remember we did a show on them early on and just talking about their introduction. So it's amazing how far they've come.
I think that what they're going to do, they're going to push the rest of the industry, but they have proven that there's a market for their golf clubs. Folks need to understand that you know, PXG is like buying a Bentley. So,
right.
You know, is there a value in it? Is it a better value? It's not a better value. It might be a better product, but it's not a better value.
Right.
But if you're putting cost aside, they've done some really cool stuff where you've got incredible feel and incredible performance that no one else has done, no one else has been able to do yet. So, I mean, they made a big impact this year. Really, again, doing things outside the box. Hey, let's build the best golf club we can and forget about the cost.
They don't, like you said, it's like buying a Bentley. I guess then you can't really rate them as a sort of disruptor in terms of the market share, in terms of golf club design or golf club products.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting. I talked to my friend of mine in the golf industry, and he said to me, he goes, you know, is Ferrari a car company?
Yeah, right, exactly. Right?
And you know, that's a good question. I mean, I don't think that Ford or Toyota or Honda would consider Ferrari a car company. I don't even know if they consider Maserati a car company.
Or certainly not competition.
Right. Because, again, they're going after such a – you can't build indefinite amount of those cars. That market doesn't exist.
Right.
So is PXG a golf company? It's a good question. And I think that the answer – what I do think that they have proven is there's a much bigger market than was expected because – There's a lot of golfers. Listen, if you buy a $5,000 set of golf clubs, it's not going to completely break your bank. You can't go out and buy a $250,000 car, but you could buy a $5,000 set of golf clubs.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of golfers out there that belong to clubs that are really into it, and they're looking for the best possible performance. And I think PXG has proven, hey, that person, if it's better. You know, one of the things I tell people is we've had expensive golf clubs for a long time, and we at Pete's Golf haven't sold very many of them because I'm not selling you something because it's expensive. I'm going to sell you something because it's better.
Right.
And if you really want something because it's expensive, I will sell it to you. I'm a performance guy, so it's got to perform better. If it performs better, hey, you have to look at this. Then you can decide whether it's worth it or not. And they came out with a club that performed spectacularly.
How has been? Is it? I'm not saying it's jumping off the shelves in your shop, but did the size of the market that you mentioned was it bigger than you expected?
So a lot more than what I thought it would. Yeah, and pretty much you had to ask for it.
Really?
I mean, yeah. I mean, we pretty much won't put it in your hands unless you ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked a lot of people out of it.
Really?
You know, well, if it's not right for you, at the end of the day, you know, we're around for almost 40 years because we tell people the truth. We're honest. I'm not trying to sell them golf clubs. And if it wasn't right for you, we would talk you out of it. But if it was right for you and you asked about it, and the reviews have just been, you know, with that kind of product, you see the reviews of where this time of year we're getting phone calls, okay, make me a set for Florida.
Right.
I'm not going to bring my clubs back and forth. Make me a set for Florida. And I can't tell you how many of those phone calls I've gotten. And that's telling you something really worked, right?
Right.
They bought one set to use here, but now they're getting their second set for Florida. It must have really worked. they don't want to use their old clubs down in Florida because they were really enjoying these ones up here.
Right, right. That's interesting. I never understood that mentality. I mean, I get it, but I always felt like sets of golf clubs were so unique. I could never play two different sets. You know what I mean?
That's why you have to buy the same thing.
Right.
I tell people, a couple the other day came in and like, oh, we want to buy a second set for Florida. I'm like, you can't do that.
Right.
They're both avid golfers. I think she's a 7 or 8 handicap. He's a 6 handicap. They play 100 rounds each a year. And I said, you can't go from using one set here to one set. You're going to be miserable because, you know, well, the new set that's better, you're going to want to use that both places. I said, what you have to do is get one set, make sure you love them, and then get an identical second set built identically so that you can use when you're at, you know, if you have one set in your car, one set at your club, or one set in your Florida home, one set here, they are identical and there's no nothing different.
But are they identical? Like that, you know, like mentally,
I think we can build them identical, yes.
Right.
Yes, we can. If it's built by Ono, it can be built identical, yes.
Yeah. All right. That's Woody Lashin, co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop. We're going to take a one-minute break. You'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabile has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, welcome back to the On Par Radio Show. I'm Anthony Scorsia. He's Woody Lashin. Woody, a lot of, it's a little, the golf industry is going through a little bit of a crazy period, let's just say that, a little tumultuous, to say the least. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about some new technology, the new Titleist driver you've been talking about. Seemed to be a very good product that's been very successful performance-wise and seems to be another popular item in your shop. Why don't we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, the Titleist new 1917 driver is one of the best drivers we've tested. You know, you asked me a question off air, you know, is it the best driver? And I'm like, there is no best driver.
Right.
It's a question of what's the best driver for you.
Right.
So the answer can be yes, and the answer can be no, and we've, you know, seen it both ways. What Titleist has managed to do is make a very, very stable driver. Meaning that it's going to be a little more forgiving on off-center hits while keeping the spin rate relatively low for that kind of driver. Still not as low as it possibly can go, but lower than in the past, with a great look and a great feel. And so we've had great success with that driver. I've been using one myself, actually, for a month. It's great for everybody.
Yeah, right, sure.
But It's very promising right now. You know, it looks good. It feels good. It's got some cool technology. It doesn't. If folks, if you think that it's got this draw bias weight that you move back and forth, and that this will cure my slice or my hook, that's not going to work that way.
Still the Indian.
Well, it's not a question. It's not going to move the golf club as much as you think.
Right.
You'd honestly rather not have it there. Rather have it built in to the golf club where they can move the weight as much as they want, as opposed to when they have these adjustable weights, they're making sacrifices.
Right.
And they don't move the center of gravity around as much as you think.
Right. Right. No, I mean I agree. Why? And I feel like when you have an adjustability component to a golf club, I feel like people spend more time tinkering with it rather than trying to do what, you know.
I think at least the clients that we see don't tinker very much.
Right.
We dial it in, we give it to them, and they're hitting it good, and they leave it alone.
Right, right.
When you see a guy in the range trying to fit himself, it's like a guy, you know, I'm going to a pharmacy trying different drugs on his own. You know, good luck with that.
Right, right. Now, that's why you don't see me under the hood of a car. I have no idea what I'm doing, and thank God for that. All right, so
that's what we got Ed Terrabile for, by the way.
That's right, Ed Terrabile, A1 Action. That's a good call, Woody. All right, so actually, one more thing: Driver versus Driver, the new show. I don't really get it, but you're a technology guy. You're the premier fitter. Does it make sense to you, this show?
No.
Okay.
Here's the thing: knowing the rules, or most of the rules of designing a golf club. When I first watched it, I'm like, well, that doesn't conform. That's not going to conform. That's going to conform. Folks, there are so many rules to what you can do and can't do with a golf club. It's scary. And I have spent a lot of time, doesn't matter what company, Titleist, TaylorMade, Ping, Cobra, we're going to Callaway, spent time with all these engineers. Folks, these guys are genius. These are genius guys that have been doing it for a long time. And there's not just one guy. There's a team of guys, team of geniuses, trying to push the limits of what they can do under the rules that the USGA has set forth.
So begs the question, how is Anthony Scorsia going to come up with a Titleist or a driver design that – and Anthony Scorsia is not that smart. We know that. And he's going to what? He's going to outsmart a team of geniuses?
I don't think so. I don't even necessarily know if a genius who just started doing it in his garage could do it, because there's so much work that you have to do. You know, any idea that – patents. Folks, there are so many patents. I got a great idea. Well, it's patented. You can't use it because Callaway patented it. So it's entertainment, I guess, but
right.
I don't think the concept certainly doesn't work. It's just too hard because of the rule structure. That's the big thing, is the USGA rule structure. If that USGA rule structure wasn't there, then maybe yes. But the USGA rule structure saying you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, that's not going to conform. Not going to work.
Yeah, it just seems a little, I don't know. It just seemed like it missed the mark a little bit. All right, under the file of Lions and Tigers and Bears, oh my, we've got Acushnet goes public, TaylorMade is for sale, Golfsmith is getting bought by Dick's. How do you make a sense of all this stuff?
You know, it's really interesting times, a golf industry. I think the biggest thing people need to understand is that the golf industry is a small industry. It's not a huge industry, and it's really, we are avid golfers, so we love it, and we're going to keep doing it. But it's not a super growing industry. You're not going to see more and more people playing golf. I hope that is the case, but it's never going to explode because of the how hard it is, the time it takes, all the issues that you and I both know. So it's really interesting in that you're seeing in one swoop, Golfsmith says we can't do it anymore. We're going bankrupt. And Dick's bought him out of bankruptcy, is buying him out of bankruptcy. And basically, I believe the plan is there's currently like 110 stores and they're going to close all but 30.
Right.
Wow, that's a very bad sign for the golf business. And then here you have Acushnet going public. Hey, we're going to be publicly traded. I think Acushnet can give you a great dividend. So if you're buying that stock, it might give you a good payback dividend on your stock, but it's not a growth stock. That stock's not going to go up. And you look at Callaway. I think Callaway's at a five-year high of $10, $10.60 or something like that.
Right.
And that's a five-year high for them.
Right.
It's not great for the stock market.
Well, they're not those kind of companies. That's
exactly, because it's not growth.
Right.
You know, the stock market wants growth. They want to see, make more sales, make more numbers, make more. Well, in golf, you can go slow and steady, but you're never going to see astronomical rises. I mean, that's the thing with Golfsmith going out of business. I mean, you know, the golfer is more discerning today. He's going to go buy a golf club. He's looking for a professional fitter. He's not going to go to some kid that got trained for 2 hours to spend his couple thousand bucks on a set of golf clubs.
Sure.
So, you know, we weren't at all surprised that they went out of business. And I think you'll see more change. You know, TaylorMade, for example, Adidas saying, "Hey, we're done with them." And by the way, it's been for sale for a while and hasn't been finalized yet.
Right.
And I think for the same reason that, you know, hey, listen, if you're gonna spend money and buy a golf company for, you know, $450 million, and you just saw one of their best customers go bankrupt, tough to make that investment.
Do you kind of see do you anticipate a sort of shift in how markets or how golf companies deal with professional players? And I mean, let's just look at this. I mean, Nike had two of the premier golfers, right? They had Tiger Woods and they had Rory McIlroy, and that couldn't keep them going. If you're a major golf company, you know, that putting golf clubs in Woody Lashin's hands, who are on the tour, that's not selling golf clubs. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not buying golf clubs because I saw a Woody Lashin. First of all, you don't even barely can tell what golf clubs they're using anyway if you're watching on TV or whatever. I mean,
and you couldn't use them if you got them because you can't use what they're playing anyway unless you happen to have, you know, 120 mile an hour clubhead speed.
Exactly. So what does that mean for? I mean, why buy TaylorMade?
I actually think it's a really good thing for the golf industry. You're actually, by the way, going to see more swooshes on TV.
Well, of course, because you're going to stay in the apparel business.
Right. You know. And if you look at what's going on with golf on TV, the golf viewership on TV is up. Okay, there's, I think what's up is up 15% or something like that this year. It's up a good amount. But a lot of those people that are watching golf actually don't play golf.
Right.
And so they're going to buy apparel. So you're going to see more and more Nike swooshes because it's a better value for them. You'll see less and less hats that say Titleist, Callaway, TaylorMade, et cetera, because they can't afford to be in that business. And I think that's a good thing. You know, if you go back to where golf was in the 80s and 90s, it's a small niche business.
Sure.
For those of us who are passionate about the game, and I think it's going to go back to that. I think it's going back to seeing people more with their local pro, with their local small mom-pop store, and less of that big corporate machine.
Right. Interesting. We got to take one more break. We'll be back in 30 seconds. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Always a pleasure to have Woody Lashin in studio. Woody, first of all, you know, thank you for your support for the season, but thank you for your friendship for the season, and for much more than that. But it's always a pleasure to have you in, and always appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. Folks, I don't know if you know Anthony, how hard he works on this show, and he does it because he's passionate about the game of golf. Not because he's trying to make a living at the game of golf. He's he's passionate about the game of golf, and that's what I love the best about this show is your passion. You're here. You're doing this on your own time, just trying to talk golf, and I love it. I'm happy to be a small part of it.
Well, thank you for the kind words, and look forward to hearing from you. You've got a number of different things over the plans for this winter. I know you're going to the PGA show. I know you're going to see Callaway. So, folks, I will be continuing the winter On Par Winter podcast. Won't be a regular thing, but it'll be the occasional thing. So look forward to talking to you on there, and this way we can keep tabs on you.
Sounds great, Anthony. I look forward to it.
All right, folks, that's it for season number 6. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Enjoy, and thank you for your support.
seem like the whole world walking pretty. This is your one-stop gospel celebration.